What is up, everybody? Stacy Blackwood here from Tide Talk Live, joined as always by my good friend Jake Thomas. And no, we did not color coordinate on purpose. It is purely accidental, but here we are in our blue. Jake, how's it going, buddy?
Doing good, man. It's I had a good weekend and ready to take a Tide Talk Live. You know, this will be our first live. We've done a couple, recordings, but this is gonna be our first live. So everybody get in the chat and drive this baby. I mean, we got some topics we want to talk about, but we're definitely going to use your topics and thoughts in the chats as well. So jump in there and give us something to talk about.
No doubt. Like you said, jump in the chat. It's open. All conversations are open. But like you said, we're going to try to stick to a little bit of a schedule here in the show. And we're obviously going to dive mostly into what's been going on with Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban and the feud heard around the world, that's happened over the last few days. And we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But as always, if you're new here and you're not subscribed already, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, and give this video a thumbs up. And if you're watching us on YouTube, share this link to Facebook, Twitter, wherever you're at, just share it. That way we can get as many fans in here as possible. We're closing in on 1,000 subscribers, Jake, and we're so close to that goal. I cannot believe we're getting close to that goal.
That's crazy.
I was happy to hit 100, and I thought, all right, we made 100 subscribers, and here we are closing in on 1,000. So excited about the future of Tide Talk Live and how it's grown and how our YouTube channel has grown. But we want to, we're not going to waste a lot of time here in the introduction. We're going to jump really just straight into the conversation as we wait on people to jump in on the live show and in the chat. But Jake, when this whole Saban Fisher feud really got started, Saban was talking at an event in Birmingham to some of the Alabama's wealthiest people. We all know the story by now, but he talks about Jimbo Fisher. He didn't say Jimbo Fisher, but he talks about how A&M, bought the previous class, the 2022 signing class, which is the best signing class of all time. And just your thoughts on what Nick Saban said. Did it surprise you that he said those things? And then, of course, we'll get to what Jimbo said in retaliation.
Yeah. Coach Saban is known to say, things just because he's Coach Saban. He has the luxury to. I mean, the dude's won multiple championships. He has and is the GOAT of – coaching lore. So, I mean, he has the right to say anything he wants to. I guess my only concern is maybe not at, say, A&M, maybe worded a little bit differently. But, he does have a point. Now, I'm not going to say that A&M cheated or anything, and he never once said they cheated. He never once, called Jimbo by name and all that. But it is kind of suspicious on A&M side, because if you look the past recruiting classes that Jimbo's had, they've only had about 1 to 2 blue chip players that's come in, and they went 8-4 last year. I mean, that don't scream up and up to incoming recruits. That's just my personal opinion. So Jimbo says they did it the right way. Maybe they did. We don't know. There's really no rule right now concerning NIL until they get this hammered down and get some kind of ruling on it. This is just going to be a free-for-all.
Yeah, no doubt. And it did surprise me that, usually Saban is so calculated in what he says. Oh, yeah. And he was a little calculated, but for him to name drop not only Texas A&M, but Jackson State, Miami, that part was a little surprising. But Jimbo Fisher just took it to the next level, and he took it so personal, Jake. He took it as if Nick Saban had come out and said that Jimbo was a part of some kind of
cult
or something. It was unbelievable. Jimbo Fisher's the next morning, his emotion-filled press conference was just that. I mean, he was out there on pure emotion, and he let his emotions get the best of him. And he really made it a personal attack on Coach Saban when Coach Saban was not delivering a personal attack on Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher. He was just pointing out the nature of what NIL is right now and what we are dealing with at this point in time without any kind of legislation or any kind of, committee watching over what NIL is doing and all the inner workings of that. And that's all Coach Saban was saying. And Jimbo Fisher act like Nick Saban had called him, everything but a but a good man. I don't know. Right. It was I was shocked at how personal Jimbo Fisher took it, and then how personal Jimbo Fisher became when attacking Coach Saban. And to me, the most ironic thing of it all is Jimbo Fisher talked about how he's not a liar, and you know, he's always told the truth and all that. Well, I mean, you've done nothing but brag about Coach Saban and how good of a coach he is and how he's done everything the right way for a decade or longer.
Right.
But then in this emotion filled moment, he's talking about how Coach Saban, you know, is, you know, a cheater. I mean, he pretty much said Coach Saban's a
narcissist.
He's a narcissist. He's despicable. So were you lying before Jimbo, or are you lying now?
Right. Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you said, there's been video and there's been news articles come out talking about how Jimbo has said those things like you just previously mentioned. And then you have his rant the other day. So like you said, was you lying back then, or are you lying now?
Right.
Because you can't be both ways. Because
he's talking out of both sides of his mouth now, Jake.
Exactly.
And that's what happens when you get out and you start making decisions, making comments when you're all up in your feelings.
Right. Exactly.
And Jimbo was all in his feelings in that moment, and it got the best of him, Jake, and he made himself look like a fool. I mean, I hate to say, I don't want to talk bad about anybody, but he made himself look like a fool that morning.
And the way he acted, calling the press conference that, you know, the other morning like that after he made the comments, this weekend, I think it was either Friday or maybe even Saturday, Coach Spurrier come out and pretty much sided with Saban. Okay, Jimbo, how come you didn't come out this morning and have a rage-filled, emotion-filled
press
conference against Steve Spurrier?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing.
It is. You know. And Steve Spurrier said what everybody else was thinking.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
Well, Nick didn't really say anything that was wrong or inaccurate.
Right.
I mean, Coach Saban just said something that was really just public knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
And he wasn't saying it in a way to say that, you know, Jimbo and A&M are cheating. He was saying, this is what's going to happen if we don't have some type of legislation.
Right.
And and what is so funny about it is that really both in a small moment, Jimbo Fisher agreed with Coach Saban's whole philosophy on NIL. He talked about how, you know, I don't really know what's going on because we don't really have somebody overseeing everything, which is Nick Saban's complete point on the matter.
Right.
And so Jimbo gets up there and throws his big fit when he agrees with Coach Saban on the current state of NIL and college athletics.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I said, he let his emotions get the best of him, and it really, you know, it made him look really foolish in the moment. Jimbo Fisher's not a fool.
No,
he's not a fool, but he did have a foolish moment.
He had a foolish moment
when he let his emotions dictate his feelings and how he, you know, expressed his feelings on the matter. Look, I understand being upset that your former boss name dropped your school. I get that part. But I don't understand the name calling, the saying, you know, also very ironic that Jimbo says he loves confrontation, but he's avoiding Nick Saban's phone calls.
Yeah.
So do you like confrontation or not?
Right. Yeah. Because Saban's trying to call and pretty much discuss things with you, and you're not, you know, you're not wanting to hear it. You know, my boss today, we was talking about all this, and he said, you know, I just really want to see if they shake hands beginning the game, or if they even talk beginning the game when they play each other, Brian Denny, here in October. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? But maybe they might even speak to each other after the game's over with, because – I'm hoping they're running like a scalded dog out of there, you know, because we just whipped that honey. But
yeah, I hope it goes a lot like the Blake Sims year, 59 to nothing.
Oh my gosh, please, Lord, just let that happen. That'd be great.
And I'm willing to bet if Jimbo Fisher continues to run his mouth, that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a feeling Saban's going to call the dogs off this go around like he normally does.
No,
I hope he don't at least.
Right.
But Saban's got too much humbleness in him. He may call the dolls off, but gosh.
Well, I'm interested in seeing how the SEC coaches meeting goes this next week in Destin. Obviously, they're going to have to be in the same room together. They're going to have to be discussing, you know, the future of the conference together. So something's going to have to happen, and I would love to be a fly on the wall the moment that those two, you know, cross paths.
Absolutely. And, you know, Greg Sankey come out and pretty much reprimanded both of them and say, y'all need to calm it down, y'all need to tone it down, which I understand. And it does shed a little bad light on the SEC, but during these coaches meeting, maybe this it start the discussion on how to get this settled down, especially at least on the SEC side of things. Now the NCAA is going to have to play out and see what happens, but on the SEC side, something's got to give. And you know, where is the end of the NIL? Where is the ending point? Not to end NIL, but do it the correct way and not have this sneaking around potentially. Well,
look, NIL is not supposed to be for use of attracting players to a school.
Right.
It's for a player to profit off his name, image, and likeness.
Image and likeness, yeah.
I mean, so, and that's what Coach Saban's entire point is. I'm sure that's what Jimbo Fisher wants for college athletics as well. I guarantee you he doesn't want for schools to be able to say, hey, you come here, we can get you this much in NIL. He doesn't want that.
Right.
Because that's that, you know, what's USC? Jake, think about Los Angeles and what they can offer to these kids.
Yeah.
You let Hollywood get involved out there.
That's incredible.
The money pot would be, you know, endless. So,
yeah,
that's not what needs to happen in college football. And that, like I said, that's Coach Saban's whole point. And whether he realizes or not, Jimbo Fisher shares the same sentiment with Coach Saban on the future of NIL and college athletics. So, to me, they just both, you know, Fisher needs to grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
And not take it so personal and then not become so personal with his attack on Coach Saban, a guy who got him his start and who made it, who helped make a name for him in college coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Jack, you take away what Jimbo Fisher had with Jameis Winston the year they won the championship, and what has Jimbo Fisher done as a head coach?
Nothing.
I mean,
nothing. That's all. I mean, 8-4, 8-5 records every single year.
Yeah, I mean,
they went 9-3 one year with Jameis before they won the championship.
Yeah, I mean, he's just gotten a little too big for his britches, and maybe October, was it October 8th?
I think so.
Saban will give him a wake up call. Back to reality.
Right. I just you know you're talking a little bit too much when you know you're a consistent 8-9 win season coach.
Right. Right. You know. Well, you know, you it's like a lot of coaches. You get that first win over Saban, you think you're invincible. So,
right.
But we'll see. I would love to hear the people watching right now what you think the score will be between Alabama and Texas A&M on October 8th there in Tuscaloosa. Of course, not only does Alabama have the revenge factor from last year's loss, but now they have this whole feud between Saban and Fisher to kind of fuel the fire. So, I would love to hear what everybody believes will be the score there on October 8th. I think right now most odds have Alabama favorite as like a 16-point or 16.5-point favorite in that game. To me, I would take Alabama, no doubt about it. I'm seeing a 3-touchdown win or more for Alabama in that game. So, hey, Cassie, thanks for joining us. Yeah.
Hey, Cassidy.
Been a mess and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
Jimbo's going down this fall. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. I tell you, here's my score prediction. It is going to be higher than the October 7th, 1916 game when Georgia Tech beat Cumberland 222-0. No, I'm just kidding. I would love that. I do not see that ever happening again. That's why I probably would. Well, that game will probably go down as the highest shutout in history ever. But a 59-0, I think A&M can probably get on the board. I don't think it'd be a shutout, but by God, I think it's going to be, you know, they may only score 10 points, if that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, all honesty, their defensive line, no freaking doubt, is going to be good because of the talent that they just got in this recruiting class.
Yeah.
Their defense is going to be pretty stacked. Who's going to play quarterback for them? They just lost Spiller, their running back. Who's going to running back? You'll be their running back. They have questions offensively. I don't – if it gets into a shootout, that you know, and Alabama puts up 21 to nothing at first, after the first, they can't score at will like Alabama can.
Right.
So they're going to rely on their defense to keep it close, and I just don't see it. Especially like you said, with the revenge factor, with all this going on, it could get ugly early.
Yeah, I hope it does.
Yeah, me too. I hope every game is just a cakewalk this year, because I don't think my blood pressure can handle it this year.
Man, speaking of blood pressure, and this is not really on the topic tonight, but JT wins the PGA Championship yesterday, Jake. And what a dramatic win, man. Yeah. The tie for the second largest comeback in major tournament history. Mm-hmm. He was down 8 strokes from the lead yesterday. Yeah. He had a 1% chance of winning the tournament yesterday morning, and he somehow comes back and wins it in a 3-hole playoff against Will Zalatoris. Mm-hmm. One of the most remarkable comebacks that I've ever witnessed when you talk about the PGA Tour.
Absolutely. And give Zalatoris credit, man. He was rocking all weekend. And I mean, and he was a lot to win it. He's probably the most consistent, you know, golfer last weekend. But I mean, that amazing comeback from JT and some of the accolades that JT is racking up is incredible. I mean, this is his second PGA Tour championship. Right. You know, he's got the president. He played awesome the President's Cup, you know, and all that. Kaysen says Roll Tide. I thought I'd never, ever hear that from him.
Somebody had to steal his phone.
Yeah, got to. Must be Brady. No. Might be Briley. I think Briley might be an Alabama fan. I can't remember. But anyway.
Kaysen, I would love to hear what you had to say about the whole Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher debacle.
Me too. But it was a real incredible win, and I'm happy for JT. I mean,
yeah, no doubt.
One of the best golfers right now.
Yeah, man, that that playoff hole, Jake, where he on the is it the 17th, mm-hmm. where he hit the green on the par 4 with that just incredible tee shot, and he had the twirl of a club going down, and in that moment you knew that JT was going to win it, and that was probably it for Will Zalatoris. That put the pressure and the heat on him, and JT mm-hmm. was just calm, cool, and collected. And you know, that incredible last round on Sunday was great. But good to see him win it. Kaysen says Briley's a Bama softball fan. We won't go there right now.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a minute. So
yeah, unfortunately that's our next topic is the softball team.
We'll get there in a sec.
Kaysen says Jimbo's been on my shit list since 13. Yeah. I guess so. Kaysen is an Auburn fan, and we all know what happened to his Auburn Tigers in 2013.
But I don't know. You know, I just going back to JT real quick. He is playing lights out right now, and you remember, even though they ended up the U.S. ended up losing the Ryder Cup. You know, a few years ago. He went toe for toe with Rory McIlroy, who on that European team was the best golfer up, you know, that weekend. I mean, he was killing everybody he was playing. JT beat him and gave the U.S. some hope, and then we have guys just falter down at the end. But I mean, the future for, you know, me being a golfer, I love the President's Cup and I love the Ryder Cup because I like beating the British like we did in 1776. You know, I'm ready to get that Ryder Cup back, dadgummit. We got the President's Cup back from. We got to get that Ryder Cup. JT is going to be a crucial part of that. Yeah. And I think it's next year, if I'm not mistaken. So we've got to, he's him. And I mean, there's a lot of good guys. Brooks didn't have that good of a weekend, but using the Ryder Cup time and President's Cup time, he plays outstanding. Bryson, of course. So, You know,
Dustin Johnson has really fell off the map lately, and I guess it was when the Quail Creek Open is happening. I don't know. We need to get some kind of sponsor on that. We can have a big tournament, you know, with courtesy of Tide Talk Live, and maybe have somebody follow around with some cameras to record the events.
Oh wow! But about 4 golfers total playing. You know? Yeah, that's fine. I'll be two. We'll be one of them, two of them. So Case and Brady be the other. So there we go. But yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Unfortunately, to softball, Jake, and the season did come to a disappointing end this weekend at home in the regional. Albemarle does not make the super regional for the first time ever.
That's insane. A 44 game losing or winning streak snapped. They have not lost a regional game since 2005.
It's crazy.
That's crazy, man. I don't know what happened.
I know what happened. The heating was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of jokes going around about Bibb County and all
right,
that.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, the heating was just not there for Albemarle this year. There was one point I want to say before entering the regionals, they were like five of their last 75 with runners in scoring position. I mean, you're not going to win any games like that. No. So, Montana, she has struggled a little bit, but like I mentioned, the hitting has been the biggest issue for Alabama this season. And that really came to a head against Stanford, losing two of those three games against the Cardinal.
Yeah.
Just really disappointed to see the season end like that. But fortunately for Alabama, Jake, I mean, outside of Kaylee Towell, everybody has an opportunity to come back. So
absolutely. And of course, transfer portal could happen.
Right. Right.
You know, but I'm going to tell you, I think what really hurt is losing Lexi, you know, down the stretch. And yeah, we lost her, I think, April 17th. She ain't pitched since then. Losing her because, you know, that morning, maybe you could have thrown her and she could have won that morning game for you.
Right.
And then having Montana pitched like
200 something. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, her arm had to be tight, and you could see they was finally there in the fifth, sixth innings. They was finally hitting her really hard.
Right.
And it was just, you know, but like you said, talent wise, there's a lot coming back. If everybody comes back, you're still going to have all your outfield positions. Jenna Johnson be back. Dallas Goodnight. Savannah Woolery played outfield some, so she'll be back potentially. Bailey Dallin will be back.
Bailey Hemphill. The catcher.
Allie yeah. Shipman. Yeah.
Allie Shipman. Yeah.
Yeah. Allie Shipman. You know, like you said, first base, Kate, you know, losing Kaylee is the only real concern we've got right now. So, attaboy.
I'm going to put this on the screen because I'm sure everybody knows this by now, but Jake is a massive wrestling fan,
big time.
And the Kaysen is Jake's cousin or
no
cousin,
nephew.
Mm-hmm. And so Jake's great nephew, believe it or not, Jake is old enough to have a great nephew.
we're not
going to dive into the details of how all this has happened, but Jake has a great nephew, and
dude.
And obviously, he's being raised right. He's watching the Royal Rumble from 2006.
Wow. Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Jake?
Yeah, that's I'm proud. Hey, tell Case and Breyer is going to come over here one day because I got the Peacock channel, so we can go back and watch any WrestleMania, Royal Rumble from beginning to time. So, you know, we'll sit here and watch it all day if he wants to. But going back to the softball team, it is disappointing, but like you said, there's plenty of talent coming back. We're going to have we're going to have a healthy Lexi back. We're going to have another, you know, we're going to have Montana back. Allie Shipman, she still has another year. So I mean, she and you know, Allie, it pains me because she was hot, you know. That's a throwing word. She was really hot hitting the ball, you know, beginning of the year. So and just everybody just fell off the last month of the season. I think the last 12 games they went like 5-7, 5-8, something like that. Hitting just went to pot. I don't know what happened there, but maybe we got to have a pitching coach, you know, hitting coach. You know, that's got to be number one, all, you know, in the offseason, I think, for Patrick Murphy. A lot of people have been wanting Patrick Murphy gone. Y'all are idiots. Shut up. You know, you don't need to watch, you know.
Well, who are you going to get?
Exactly. Yeah. look what the guy has done for us his entire, you know, his career there. I mean, who you gonna get? He's only lost like what, like maybe 60 something games, if that. It may be less than that. Hey, he, you know, it's kind of, it's almost like Saban-esque numbers down there. So,
right,
you know, he don't lose much, if at all. So they're a young team, and that's what I really like. So, and they're gonna have an ace. They still got their ace coming back next year, and then their mini aces in Letsy and Jayla Torrance and Alex Salter. They both pitched, I think, really well. So that staff next year is gonna be deep, I believe.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how the, you know, we were looking at the softball team this year and thought they really had a chance to do something special. And you know, like we mentioned, the hitting just wasn't there for whatever reason. And like you said, losing Lexi late in the year really hurt Alabama's chances late in the season. But, you know, I hate to use the word disappointing, because I'm not disappointed in the effort, because I think everybody gave everything they had. It's just disappointing with the expectations that we have for Alabama softball. So,
yeah,
it's like Alabama not making the playoffs is really what it's kind of like for the softball team not to make the Super Regionals.
And I know Patrick Murphy's upset about it too, but he knows what he's got to do to get back there. And you talk about revenge tour for Team 27 next year for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this. I think the 2023 season could be really special for Alabama. That is so weird to say 2023.
I know, it's crazy. There's, you know, I've always been told once you know, you reach 30, time starts flying by. And I mean, I've already had a birth. I'm 31 now. And my gosh, then this year is almost halfway over already.
I know.
So it's crazy. But yeah, it is. You know, like you said, a little disappointing, but they'll be back. And it's kind of an odd tournament this year, because you saw a lot of, you know, and I'm just, you know, I'm just going to throw it out here. I don't see anybody beating Oklahoma. And the only shot I think that gave them a shot would have been Florida State, and Mississippi State put them out.
Yeah, that's one of the bigger surprises as well, is Mississippi State upsetting Florida State. That's massive.
That is. And but it's been kind of, because you see a lot of, you know, top teams, you know, struggle and got beat their first game, so they had to win two, or they got beat, you know. So it's been fun. I mean, it's almost like college basketball. You know, you have you have some Cinderellas now in softball who have a chance. All you do, you just get there, and it's like a new season.
Well, the parity is starting to really show itself because of how popular the game is becoming nationally. You know, for so long it was out west with, you know, Arizona and UCLA. Then Oregon. Oregon. Then you started seeing teams like Alabama and Florida and Oklahoma start to build their programs up. And now that's really expanded to other teams inside the SEC and the Big 12. So it's really grown nationally. And that's why you're starting to see more parity. And therefore, you see more upsets. So it is a fun sport. It's really grown a lot. And disappointed that season's over for Alabama, but not disappointed in their effort at all. But and excited for the future of the program.
Absolutely. One thing I want to get your opinion about, and Casey, if you're still on, I like your opinion too. But since we do have this NIL deal, and since we have seemingly, if all goes well, we're going to have a new college football game, which that's one of the reasons why we got NIL. In the future, I'm not saying they had to do it right now, but in the future, I'm hoping they make a college basketball or a baseball game, college basketball, and maybe a college softball game.
Dude, a college softball game would be elite.
Absolutely. I think that thing would be amazing. You know,
I would be all over that.
I would too. I thought I might have been in a league of my own here, but I think a college softball game would be outstanding.
If I knew how to make a poll in our chat, I would do it, but I don't know how to do that.
I know that I may put that in Twitter and just see what people think. But I don't know. To me, it seems like trying to hit a 71 mile per hour ball from Montana Fouts is a lot harder than a 90 from a pitcher. I don't know why.
Well, but, I'm not going to be able to hit either one of them. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, but I think, wait, what's the question? Since NIL is coming back and we're getting a college, we know we're getting a college football game back, and it looks like we're going to be getting that here in a few years, and it'll probably be an ongoing thing. I would like to see, of course, college basketball return, maybe make a college baseball game and a college softball game as well. Because, I mean, now you can. I think there've only been one college baseball game made. I think that was in 2008. And I don't think they've ever made a college softball game.
No, and I've never made a college softball game.
Right.
I'll be honest with you. I have not played a professional baseball video game, and I couldn't tell you when.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
It's I've got MLB 2022. Only reason why I got it is because it's free on Xbox Gaming Pass now, so I got it. But yeah, Long Beach State was on the cover of that,
dude.
So yeah, and I think the last college basketball game was 2010. I actually have it as well.
Do you really? Who's on the cover of that?
Blake Griffin.
Nice,
Blake Griffin, and. For some, I cannot remember who
that was in 2000. What year?
2010.
Good grief.
Yeah. Yeah. That was his senior year because he's not in the game. He's just on cover. But
which was always the I mean, that goes back to show you how stupid not allowing a player to you know, be able to make money off college his name, then.
Yeah.
Name, image, and likeness. I mean, he can't even be in the video game that he's on the cover on.
Right. Exactly. So. You know, I was just sitting here thinking, but I don't remember who was on that Alabama team back in 2010, but on that game, they are like stacked. They are stacked.
Who's that?
Alabama, the Alabama team back in 2010 basketball. I don't remember who's on.
God, I've slept way too many times.
Since I know.
I'd have to really think about it.
They were stacked because, I mean,
Alonzo G was probably there then, wasn't he?
He might, yeah, probably.
Probably so. Jamichael Green.
Okay, number five. There's the small forward is number five, so that is.
That's Tony Mitchell. That's Tony Mitchell.
Yeah.
So. Oh, they probably had Tony Mitchell, Alonzo G, mm-hmm. Jamichael Green.
My God,
studs. Those dudes were studs.
They were studs in the game too. But you know, I just like games like that. I can't believe we got into the gaming now. I've turned this into my podcast now. Well,
All good. Let's slowly get back on track, and then maybe we have time for off the rails at the end of the show. Real quick, this will only take a couple minutes. Jake, the Alabama baseball team does take two out of three games against number five Arkansas in the final, you know, series of the regular season. Mm-hmm. Including, you know, shellacking the Razorbacks 18-5 in game three on Saturday.
Huge game.
And now Alabama gets to play Tuesday morning at 9:30 in the morning. How terrible would that be against Georgia to open up the SEC tournament? What are you feeling the chances for Brad Bohannon's team? It's single elimination for those guys. So what do you think?
You got to pitch Garrett McMillan for sure. You have to use your ace and give yourself a shot. And if I remember correctly, we lost to the series to Georgia during the season. And I think we lost the game that Garrett pitched against him. I think it was like 3-2. So, yeah. I mean, if he can, and I think he only gave up maybe one or two runs and the bullpen gave up the other. But if he can limit them, we got to get some offense going. But if it, you know, a single elimination, but the next day if they advance, it's double elimination.
Right.
A couple analysts on SEC Network, I was listening to them talk in between the game, the softball game. They feel like, and if Alabama is going to make postseason play after this, they're going to have to make it to Saturday, which is pretty much a championship game.
Right.
So there's a lot riding on the team, but if their bats come alive like they did Sunday, and that was against a very good Arkansas.
Yeah, yeah, one of the best teams in the country.
Right. So they have a shot, but we just can't, you know, swing it at balls in the dirt and like we have this season.
Well,
so,
well, like you said, McMillan's is key because you know, Jake, that when he pitches that you got a chance.
Right.
If your offense shows up, you got a chance because he's going to pitch well. But it's about the relief pitching, Jake. How consistent are they? And then also the decision making that goes into who goes in at what point in time in the game. I
know, that's the biggest thing.
That's been a little bit of an issue for Alabama this season, and that's kind of been a point of emphasis for a lot of Tide fans as well. So I'm with you. I think they're going to get the win against Georgia tomorrow. Then after that, it's hard to say what happens, but I like Alabama to win that 9:30 game tomorrow morning against Georgia.
Yeah, I think Alabama's the 11th seed and Georgia's the 6th seed, but we may have lost a series against them, but we played them hard. So I think we definitely have a shot, especially with McMillan pitching. And, you know, you get in the next day, it's double elimination. Anything can happen.
Right. So. Anything can happen then. So yeah. I'm with you. I think they get at least one win in the tournament. And, you know, that's probably not enough to get into the NCAA tournament. But, you know, it's just about taking baby steps in baseball. We've talked about that ad nauseum here on our channel, and how, you know, people need to remain patient with Brad Bohannon. I think he's going to get it done eventually. You know, he's really playing with one hand time, or coaching with one hand tied behind his back because of certain rules on scholarships and things of that nature. So, and you got to also remember that the last 2 years he's had to coach without his ace pitcher in Connor Prelip. So,
right.
I mean, and we're talking about a guy who was, a lot of people were thinking could be a top five pick, maybe even the number one overall pick after his freshman campaign in 2020. So you're talking about a guy who's a stud pitcher who has not played for Alabama, who you're probably would have had, you know, maybe 7 to 10 more wins on the year if he's available.
If you had him and McMillan, that's an incredible 1-2 punch.
You're not kidding. And then it would change how you could use your bullpen and how you would work those guys in. So it just changes everything. And I think people need to remember that.
Yeah. And also, like you mentioned, you know, getting off Brad Bohannon's back, he inherited a program that the previous coach, before he would come in, won 4 games. That's not just SEC.
Jake,
that's
I could coach Alabama to win 4 games.
I know. Yeah, that's how – I mean, we was in the pits of the SEC basement.
Yeah.
And we've slowly crawled our way out. We are now making regionals. I mean, Alabama and regionals in Hoover has been a laughing matter for several years. Yeah. We wouldn't be nowhere near close to making it. Now he's got us there 2 years in a row. Yeah. And he, like you said, he's coaching, and some of the scholarship limits and stuff, he's, you know, it's been kind of tough, but, you know, it's getting there. He's getting there.
How much coaching is there in baseball, truly? You know, I'm not going to answer that. I think there's you got to obviously know the signs, but don't know. I'm not going to jump down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Every time they do this, they do this and do that. I'm like, huh? What was that? You know, I just wanted like a big billboard. It's like, run, you know, or something up there. Cause I wouldn't know what to do.
I think you got to be a good schemer to be a good baseball coach. I think it's all about schemes and adjustments.
I mean, you know, we talk about this a lot, you know, about how analytics has killed MLB baseball, but just getting, you know, just getting a bloop hit and just getting, you know, finding where the field is not at to get a base hit, you know, that's the big thing. You got to hit it where they ain't. And, you know, there's been some hard hit balls right to people, unfortunately, for this team, but oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. If Jake gets the steal sign, he got the
yeah, sign. Yeah. I'd be needing option after that for sure. So, if anybody gave me the steal sign, I'm like, I ain't running, coach. You know, because it's gonna be an automatic.
The catcher could roll it to second base and get him out.
The catcher could probably beat me to second base out of his stance. No, but yeah, analytics has killed baseball. People nowadays try to go out there and kill a home run. Because it's
home run, you know, or nothing.
I know. And it's not the way to be. And so baseball, you got to get back to the simple things. I noticed in that Arkansas series, Alabama started doing a lot more small ball bunting and stuff, which I'd love to see.
Man, Jake, they have lost so many one run games. It's not even funny.
I know.
And it's a lot like what's crazy. We're talking about Arkansas. Arkansas was that team last year, if you remember, in the SEC. Mm-hmm. They lost like double-digit gains by one run. Right. And then this year, they won all those games. So if Alabama mm-hmm. can turn those games around too, mm-hmm. I mean, I imagine, I haven't looked, but I know it's got to be close to 10 games that they've lost by one run.
Yeah.
I mean, you swap those around.
12.
Right. I mean, yeah. you're looking at a team that's pushing 38 wins or so, and they're solidly in the NCAA tournament.
Right. Yeah. You would take, you know, I think the last I saw they were 6-12 in one run games.
Right.
If you win 10 of the 12.
Right,
you're solidly in.
Yeah, I mean, those four yeah. wins would get Alabama in solidly exactly. in the tournament. So
exactly,
it's all about the small. I'm with you. I think small ball is where it's at, mm-hmm. and maybe like you said, they'll make a more concerted effort to play in that way here towards the end of the season. But
exactly, I just I believe in them. They yeah. got a great team. Zane's our, you know, it seems like he's our spark. So
Bryce Eblen played well over the weekend.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get from Owen Diodati. He's one of those yeah. home run or nothing type guys, but
I know it, but I think
he's clutch. He's clutch.
He is. And Hammer. Yeah. Oh, Hammy. He had a really good.
Yep. Series, yeah. William so. Hammer. Yeah.
Yeah. And the catcher. Pazzi.
Yeah.
And it's something, but he had a really good series. So, there's a lot of talent on that team. It's just got to get them all together.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe this Arkansas series is what needed to happen for this team to kind of find its rhythm. And
right
now would be a great time to get hot if you're the Alabama baseball team.
Yeah, this is the perfect perfect time. You know, going back to softball, maybe they got hot too early and just faded as the season went on. But
yeah, would they start like 20-0?
Yeah, they started 20-0 and was. Make like six I mean, runs a game.
Like half the games were won by, you know, the run rule.
Right. So. Yeah. But baseball, maybe this is the right moment for them to get hot.
Yeah. All right. Hey, that's really everything on the docket for tonight. Jake, do you have anything off the rails crazy that we need to talk about before we wrap this show up?
Nothing that I can think of off the top of my head. No, not really. Not that. Oh well. Okay. Have you been? Have you been keeping up with the Johnny Depp and Amanda Heard?
Hell no.
Yeah, I hadn't either. I just wondered if you saw anything or not. Yeah.
I mean, I know what's going on, but I could care less about that hearing.
Yeah, I don't. I think she's showing her true colors pretty much.
Yes, like, there's no doubt. It doesn't take it a rocket scientist to figure out what's going on in that situation.
Exactly. So
she's crazy.
Most women are, you know, so, but anyway, hope my wife ain't listening right now. So, but yeah, I don't have much of anything, you know, Kaysen, orange shirts, net show. No,
I don't even own an orange shirt.
I don't either. I'm just wearing this one. Yeah, and they're all crazy out there, Jack. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just wearing this one because I usually dress myself the night before to get ready for work in the morning. So I pick up my clothes. So
he just rolls out of bed and goes to work.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I was like, I'm going to wear this tomorrow for work. So I threw it on tonight.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up Tide Talk Live for today, Monday, May 23rd, 2022. Jake, the summer is quickly approaching. I cannot wait to really dive into the college football season, Jake. We've already done a quick schedule preview. We're going to do a game-by-game breakdown throughout the summer months. We're going to talk about what happens in Destin this next week with the SEC coaches meeting. And then, of course, in July, we'll get there with the SEC Media Day. So there's plenty of stuff to talk about. And we're obviously going to be following the baseball team, what happens in the SEC tournament tomorrow. So excited about all that. Like I said, if you're not already, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, give this video a thumbs up, and share us with all your friends on Facebook. If you're an Alabama fan group on Facebook, share the link to this episode there to help grow the channel. But that's going to wrap it up. Really appreciate everybody tuning in. For Stacy Blackwood and Jake Thomas, this has been Tide Talk Live. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.